Welcome to the New Testament Closer Walk podcast from Walk Through the Bible. This podcast is a daily adventure that will guide you on a life-changing journey through the New Testament in 1 year. Join us every day as we listen through the entire New Testament, along with a short devotional and thoughts from great Christian leaders of the past that will help bring the New Testament alive for you today. It's a closer walk with Jesus through God's Word. For more free resources, including a daily worship from the heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod.
A conscience touched by God. Paul said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." Acts 23:1. The conscience tells you when you have done right or wrong. It may not keep you out of trouble, but at least it lets you know when you are in trouble so you can deal with the problem. Everyone has a conscience, but not everyone has a clear conscience. Thomas A. Kempis shares these thoughts on how to keep a good conscience toward God. Walk with Thomas A. Kempis, the little-known author of the classic The Imitation of Christ in the 1400s. The glory of a good person is the testimony of a good conscience. A good conscience is able to bear very much and is very cheerful in adversities. An evil conscience is always fearful and unquiet. Never rejoice except when you have done well. You shall rest sweetly if your heart does not accuse you. Sinners never have true joy or feel inward peace, because there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The glory of the good is in their consciences and not in the tongues of others. The gladness of the just is of God and in God, and their joy is of the truth. A person will easily be content and pacified whose conscience is pure. If you consider what you are within, you will not care what others say concerning you. People consider the deeds, but God weighs the intentions. To be always doing well and to esteem little of oneself is the sign of a humble soul. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends, says Paul. To walk inwardly with God and not to be held by any outer affections is the state of a spiritual man. Today's New Testament reading is Acts chapter 22, verse 30 through chapter 23, verse 35.
The commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So the next day he released him and ordered the chief priest and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. Acts 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here. But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul the prisoner sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside, and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "Some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man with this warning, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day, they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace.
All it takes to maintain a bad conscience is to do nothing. Ignore the tugging of the Spirit and the still, small voice of God. By contrast, a good conscience is a Christ-cleansed conscience, and that is only a heartfelt prayer away.
Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode as we take a closer walk through the New Testament in 1 year. For more free resources, including a daily Worship from the Heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod. That's walkthru.org/ntpod. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.